You know, I'm thankful this evening for what this time of year reminds us of. I believe that Christmas means a lot more than what many in our world are focused on and perhaps even understand. Do you know, dear ones, why there's nothing wrong with these things at all? There's a lot more to it than just giving and receiving gifts. There's a lot more to it than just spending time with family. And there's a lot more to it than just even celebrating the birth of Christ. And I said, there's nothing wrong with any of these things. In fact, I believe we ought to do all of them. Do you know it's a good thing to give gifts? To have a giving heart? To not just be focused on me and mine and what I get or what I want, or to even focus on what I have to give because I feel obligated to do so. Dear ones, there is a real blessing that comes from giving when it comes from a heart that is filled with love or compassion for someone else. I think about Christ, and the scriptures tell us, and these are all very familiar scriptures, but it tells us how that Jesus, when he came, he said he came to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bound. It says that when he looked out over the people, that he looked on them with compassion and he healed all of their sick. And we know that he gave his life for us. And why did he do it all? The scripture says, for the joy that was set before him. Do you know, dear ones, I believe that there is a joy that God wants each and every one of us to experience that comes from giving of ourselves. And sometimes that goes beyond just mere giving gifts, but it comes down to giving of myself, of making a sacrifice that Lord, this hurts sometimes. And so I believe the Lord wants us to give. But you know, the devil is fighting that with everything he can. Because he does not want you and I to experience the joy that God has that comes from a heart of giving because of it's a heart of love or a heart of compassion. Everything that the enemy promotes, the strife, the pride, the greed, all of those things that he promotes, giving because I feel obligated, doing it for show or anything like that, they all cancel out that real peace and joy that comes down in our soul when we give like Christ gave. And you know, that's the reason, dear ones, that the enemy fights it so hard. Because he does not want us to focus on what this time of year is really about. So many in our world today have gotten to the place because of all the things that the material world has pushed and that the enemy has pushed. And you hear a lot of people say, I'm just ready for Christmas to be past. They don't want to even think about it. I hear people sometimes say, well, I feel obligated to go to this party or to that, and I feel obligated and I can't afford these gifts. And do you know what the enemy is wanting to do? He's wanting them to keep them from focusing on what Christmas is really about. That real hope that Christ came to give to a lost and a dying world. And so I say again, I believe the Lord wants us to have a giving heart. I mentioned family and how that it's more than even spending time with family. But you know, dear ones, I believe with all my heart that God wants you and I to cultivate close, loving family relationships. I believe, dear ones, that God wants us to try within everything that we can, not only in our literal family, but in the family of God, to build close, loving relationships. Do you know, in a literal family, when a person gets in a place to where... Well, let me say it this way first. If I have close relationships with my family. When I get in a place where I feel overwhelmed and I'm facing something that's just too big for me, do you know it gives hope when I think, you know, I can call so-and-so. When a young mother, and some of you young mothers know, and you've got little children and they've been sick all night long and you struggled through the night and prayed for them and you're tired and weary and morning is coming and you know you've got other children, you've got to get to school and you're so tired and you're just like, it just seems overwhelming, doesn't it? But you know, when you can pick up that phone and call someone and they say, you know, I'll be right over. You don't worry about it. I'll take those children to school and I'll come home, I'll stay with, and you can just sleep. Do you know that brings hope? It's for the man as well. Have you ever had a project or had something break or you have something that you have to do and it just seems overwhelming? It's just like, I can't do it. I just can't get it done. And it's, you're just working and working. And you're tired and you're just like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And you pick up the phone and you think, I want to call so-and-so in my family or somebody else. Maybe somebody in the congregation, and you call, pick up the phone and they say, you know, don't worry about it. I got a tractor, I got a backhoe, or I've got this tool or that tool. Well, we can wipe that out just in a few hours. I'll be there in about an hour. Do you know what it does? It's not hopeless anymore, is it? It's not so overwhelming. It's just like, you know, I think we might be able to make it. I want you to know, dear ones, our Heavenly Father has everything that we need. He is standing by, ready to help us when we call upon Him. And He is wanting us to call upon Him. My father-in-law, my uncle, told about a time they went on a trip out to New Mexico, and they said that it was late at night, and they were traveling, and I don't remember the bus or motor home, whatever it was, the alternator went out. This was late at night, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't remember. And there was no place to go to. And so here they were, and they were stranded, and so they picked up the phone and called someone that they knew that lived there. And they asked him, they said, the one that called him said, well, were you sleeping? He could have said, well, what would you expect at 3 o'clock in the morning? But he didn't. He said something, and it caught my mind. He said, I was just sitting here waiting for you to call. Now, I know he was being facetious, but you know what? What that spoke to me was, dear ones, our Heavenly Father is always sitting right there waiting on you not to call. He wants us to call Him. He knows the situations that we face in life. He knows that we face things that's hard, and sometimes we don't know what to do. And so He's just right there waiting and said, if you just call, I've got everything that you need. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, just like with a regular family, if I take and I allow something to happen between me and my brother, my sister, my father, my in-laws, until when I get in that situation to where I'm feeling overwhelmed, I don't feel comfortable calling. And somebody say, well, won't you call? No, I don't think I better call them. Do you know, dear ones, when you get in that situation, it's overwhelming. It's hopeless feeling. I don't know who to call. Do you know, dear ones, that's exactly why the devil works so hard to build walls between husband and wife, between family members, between members in the congregation, and between us and our relationship with the Lord. It's because he does not want you and I to have hope. He is trying to do everything he can to stamp out every source of hope that we have. But dear ones, God wants you and I to know that we can have hope. As we've already heard in this service tonight, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I mentioned that about the birth of Christ. And dear ones, I believe it's good for us to remind people about the birth of Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil is doing everything he can to wipe it out. Because he knows that is the only source of hope. Have you ever noticed how that it seems like anytime there's something special, whether it's the birth of Christ or his resurrection, the enemy has all these other things to distract people? Instead of it being the child that was born in a manger and the gift that God came, it's old Saint Nick coming down a chimney. He's wanting to get people's mind off on something else instead of reminding them of really what it's about. Because Christ is the only hope that you and I can have. Do you know, I'd like to look at a scripture. You pray for me this evening. There's a scripture over here in Ephesians, the second chapter. In Ephesians, the second chapter, in the 11th verse, the Apostle Paul was speaking. He said, "Wherefore remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Dear ones, this is the condition that every one of us in here were in and would be in without Christ. He is the only hope that we have. And notice what it said. Aliens, strangers. Have you ever felt like you didn't belong? You just be in a situation and just think, I just don't belong here. Do you know, dear ones, the enemy of our souls can cause us to feel that way sitting right in the midst of a congregation of family? Do you know he can cause you to feel that way right in the middle of your own individual family? The devil will like to take and cause us to feel like, I just don't belong. I've listened to people talk over the years, and I've heard people say, you know, I wasn't raised in the truth. I don't have family among the saints. And I don't, you know, and as I listen to them, you know what it tells me? The devil's trying to tell them you don't belong. But I want to ask you this evening, what is it that makes us a part of the family of God? It's the new birth, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
When we are born into the family of God, dear ones, it doesn't matter if we were born an hour ago or 100 years ago. We are all a part of the family of God. When a newborn child is born into a family, are they any less part of the family than the teenager? They're not, are they? Dear ones, I want to encourage your hearts this evening that the enemy of our soul would like to cause you and I to feel like aliens and strangers right among the family of God. He'll use all kinds of things to cause us to feel like that. I've had people that are saved and sanctified say things that the devil said, well, he started whispering in my ear, well, you just don't belong there. You know what? I just had to turn and say, that's the enemy. That's my brother. Yeah, you know, in a real family, your brothers and sisters can say some pretty hard things sometimes, can't they? But does that mean you're not a part of the family? You know, the devil wants to cause walls and divisions, doesn't he? But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the Lord wants us to be a part of the family of God. He wants us to feel the love and the support of the family of God. And he wants us to be able to call on one another in our times of need that we're not in a place, he said, having no hope and without God. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's the place the devil wants us to get in. He wants you and I to be in a place where we have no hope and we're without God. Because I'm going to tell you, that's a terrible place to be in. I've told this before. Some of you may have heard it, but several months ago, I was at home. It was late. I think I'd already gone to bed and gone to sleep, and my phone rang, and it was someone from work. And they said, I'm sorry to call you so late, but I need to make you aware of something that happened. And so they told me there was a young lady that had jumped off the parking garage there at work and took her own life. I went in the next day and I reviewed the incident report and I looked at the video of what all transpired. And I'm going to tell you, it's a terrible thing. I watched that young lady. We had cameras different places, and she ran from a club that was about probably 3 or 4 blocks away from the building. And I watched her, and she ran the whole way. There was an accident there, and this was late at night. There was an accident there, and she ran around it, ran through several intersections, came across the parking lot, came into the parking garage, and went all the way to the top. She climbed, got out. She got climbed up a ladder onto the elevator penthouse. She went over. She looked down. And she backed up. And she started for the edge. And there was a car coming. She stopped. The car went by. She backed up again, and she went head first to her death. And I'm sorry if that's graphic, but I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when a person loses all hope, it's a terrible thing. But I want you to think about something, that as I looked at that and I watched that, there was something that struck me. And that was, I thought that lady knew exactly what she was doing. She knew exactly where she was going. She started out several blocks away, and she ran all that way. And I never once seen her stop and look around and pause and hesitate. She kept going all the way. And when she got up there, she did what she was planning to do. And you know what that said to me? She's been up there before. Do you know, most people wouldn't know at all how to get up where she got. And so that told me she's been there before. And so I began to wonder, I thought, I wonder how many times she had come to that point and something happened and she couldn't go through with it. I wonder how many times she came right to that point of doing what she was going to do and the mercy of the Lord changed her mind. Dear ones, I don't know why the Lord gave me all of this for tonight, but earlier in the week, I felt like this was when the Lord said to give it. But I'm going to tell you, if you're here tonight and the enemy has tried to discourage you, and he's tried to get you to do something, whatever that something is, just give up. Throw in the towel. Just quit. And it can be in anything. It could be in any kind of relationship, a marriage relationship. It could be in a spiritual relationship. It can be in your relationship with God. But if the enemy has been trying over and over to discourage us, and he has brought us to the place to where we've been to the point of seriously considering taking that next step, whatever it is, I'm going to tell you, you're in a dangerous place. Because you know what the devil's next step is? It's to destroy your hope. And when he destroys your hope, he'll be able to convince you to take that next step. Because when a person loses all hope, they'll stop trying. And the devil knows that. And dear ones, that's exactly why the enemy wants you and I to get to that place. Just like this woman that I was talking to you about, when you get to that place where you quit trying, it's a terrible thing. Because that's when the enemy will begin to work. I believe, dear ones, that the Lord, this is why the Lord revealed this wonderful plan of salvation that we're talking about here tonight from the very foundation of the world. I believe that God, when he looked on man and he saw the bondage of sin, the awfulness of sin, and where it would take man to, I believe when God looked on that, he decided right then that I'm going to have to reveal the plan of salvation from the very foundation of the world. Because when he looked at that and he recognized that if man had no hope, if there was no future Savior that they knew about, if there was no Christ that's going to be born in a stable, if there was no place of reconciliation with God, man would throw up his hands in despair and say, I'm just quitting. Can you imagine, dear ones, how evil and how dark our world would be today without the hope of a Savior? Can you imagine a person that thought, there's no hope for me. I'm going to be lost eternally regardless of what I do. How wicked our world would be today. And dear ones, that is why I believe that God, from the very foundation of the world, revealed this wonderful plan of salvation to mankind. The Apostle Paul here in Ephesians was reminding of this. And he said, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. It's a terrible place to be in. But you know, I'm so thankful that he didn't stop there. He goes on and he said, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, dear ones, I am so thankful for the wonderful love of God. I'm so grateful this evening, dear ones, for the hope that this wonderful love of God came to bring to you and I. Dear ones, my desire this evening is that there not be a single person in this building or that hears this message would ever be able to walk away and say, there's no hope for me. My burden and my desire is that every soul would understand that there is hope for me. It doesn't matter what our situation is. I'm going to tell you, we've heard already, we talk about the Lockerts. Don't you know, dear ones, the devil would like to get them in a situation where they feel like there's no hope. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. There are people in marriages and there are people in other relationships that the devil is right there to just say, throw up your hands. There's people spiritually that the enemy has come in and he's worked with them and brought them to the place where they feel like there's just no hope. But I want you to know tonight, there's hope in Christ. One of my favorite scriptures, and if you hear me preach very often, you're going to hear me quote this, is in John 10 and 10. Do you know, dear ones, Christ came and he warned us about the enemy's plan. We shouldn't be surprised when the enemy comes in like a flood. We shouldn't be surprised when he uses things to try to discourage us. And we shouldn't be surprised when he uses people to try to do that. Because Christ said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When you feel yourself in a place and the enemy just comes in like a flood and he's just trying to cast you down, all you can, what that should do is tell us that's the devil. Because that's the only one that does that. But I'm going to tell you, this is what I want you to remember. Jesus went on and he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Dear ones, Christ came for the purpose of giving you and I hope. He came to give us hope for ourselves, for our children that are out there that are lost, for our loved ones that are lost, for our nation and for our world. Now somebody might say, Brother Curtis, you just don't understand my circumstances. You don't understand how wicked this world is. Well, I may not, but I'm going to tell you, Christ does. And what did he say? Christ said, I am come that they might have hope, they might have life. And I'm going to substitute that for hope. They might have life, they might have hope, and they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Dear ones, Christ wants you and I to know that because he lives, you and I can have hope. And we can face tomorrow. The scripture, when Brother Ivan was preaching, was it Saturday night? I thought, Lord, maybe I won't even need to preach this message. He was preaching on hope. And he quoted this same scripture, and I'm going to do it again because the Lord gave it to me. In John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, whosoever, dear ones, that whosoever covers everyone. I don't care how vile the sinner they are, that whosoever reaches out to everyone. Amen. And he said, whosoever believeth on him. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, therein lies the secret to this wonderful hope, is we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We must believe that he has it for us. Dear ones, Christ came to bring this to us. And my hope and my prayer this evening is that God would somehow instill a spark of hope in every soul that hears the sound of the gospel. That somehow that they would recognize that God came to give them hope. Because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this is where it comes from. We must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The Apostle Paul said over there in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we know the scripture goes on and it says, without faith it's impossible to please him. I want to ask us the question that I've written on the board. Have we any hope within us? Dear ones, the reason I ask that is because if we do not, in whatever the situation that we're in, do you know it's going to be extremely difficult, if not impossible, for you and I to receive the blessings that God has for us? I mentioned here, maybe last year, I don't remember, in a message, one of the torments that I feel like that people are going to have in hell is they're going to be able to look up into heaven and they're going to see that great storehouse of blessings that God has up there with all of those blessings with their name on it. Because, dear ones, in that great storehouse, there are blessings with your name on it and with my name on it. They're there for us. God has already provided them. And he's just looking to you and I to call upon him to receive them. But dear ones, in order to get those, we're going to have hope. We're going to have hope in God in order to receive the things that God has for us. You know, there's people that spend a lot of money on lottery tickets and in the casinos because they have a hope of winning something. Have you ever noticed how people will say, oh, I'm going to go and I don't really expect to win anything. I'm just going to go and have a good time. But you know, the very fact that they are spending that money tells me that they have a hope of winning. Because you know why? When a person loses hope, they quit trying. I'm not going to put my money in there. There's no way I'm going to get anything out of it. Do you see? It's just like that woman. When a person loses hope, they quit trying. My burden this evening is that somehow God will take and instill a spark of hope within a soul. I think about a marriage relationship. You know, we need to place our hope in something that is solid. And you know, if a marriage relationship is not, if it's in trouble, let me put it that way, it's because one or probably both have failed to meet the expectations of the other. And if we take and put our hope in someone that has failed us over and over and over again, we're probably going to be disappointed if we keep putting our hope in them, aren't we? Yes. And yet, I think of people that I've known and you've known who have prayed faithfully for their companions for many years. Some of those, they saw them get saved. Some of them went on to meet the Lord and they never saw change in their lives. You might say, well, how could they do that? I'm going to tell you how they did it. They put their hope in something besides their companion. They put their hope in one that has all power in heaven and earth. And dear ones, we're going to have to do the same. We're going to have to put our hope in God instead of in ourselves or in our fellow man, or we're going to be disappointed. Because if we put our hope in man, dear ones, man's going to let us down. But I'm going to tell you, when we put our hope in God, we'll never be disappointed. And you might say, well, Brother Curtis, you said that some of them never saw their companion get saved. But I'm going to tell you, when you stand before the judgment throne of God and you hear those words, "Ye have done what you could," you're not going to be disappointed in the end. You're going to know that you have done everything. And he's going to say, "Come, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Yeah. Dear ones, I'd like to turn and look. I'm not going to read this. That clock's going too fast. I'm just going to, if you look in Mark, the fifth chapter, I'll just refer to this. This is the story of the man that was in the tombs. And I want you to get in your mind a picture of this man. He was in a terrible place. He was possessed with many spirits. He was in a place where he was separated from those that loved him and that no doubt he once loved. I don't know what happened in his life that caused him to end up in a place like this. I don't know all the details and the steps that brought him to this place in these tombs. But if you look at this, it says day and night he was in the mountains crying and cutting himself. That sounds like a terrible place, isn't it? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, sin gets people in some very terrible places. When I look at this man, I'm convinced that these spirits that had a hold of him had also convinced him that there was no hope for him. These people have tried and they've worked with you. They put chains on you and you just break them asunder. And you cut yourself and you're out here and there's no hope for you. Have you ever had the devil talk to you like that? I'm sure this man felt that way. But dear ones, this is where I want to come to tonight, and I want you to get a hold of this. I want you to notice what this man did. It says that when Jesus came by in the sixth verse, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. You know, sometimes the enemy can get us in a place where it seems like the Lord is far off. We don't have to be in sin. We can be in a battle and a trial, and it just seems like the Lord is far off. We can be in all kinds of situations, and the devil's just saying, "The Lord's not hearing you." But I want you to notice what he said. When this man saw Christ, he ran and he fell down and he worshiped him. Dear ones, I want you to know tonight, whether it's for you or whether it's for a loved one, if a soul will do what this man did, humble themselves, fall down, and worship God, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it'll bring a spark of hope into their hearts. I wish tonight that I could somehow just renew within our minds an image of Christ and of God, of who He is. Because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, He is worthy to be praised. He is the great I Am. He has all power in heaven and earth. And dear ones, He has power to set us free from whatever it is that is binding us. Fears, doubts, unbelief, bitterness, unforgiveness, it doesn't matter what it is. Our God has the power to set us free. He has the power to heal broken hearts. Brother Ed, does the Lord have the power to heal a heart? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, He can heal a literal heart and He can heal a broken heart. He can save a soul that is bound in sin. Dear ones, if I could this evening just remind us of how great our God is. He is the great I Am. He is a God of love and of mercy, a God of tenderness, of compassion. And the reason I say that, dear ones, is because if you and I can get a glimpse of who God is, we cannot help but have a spark of hope. When you really see God as who He is, you cannot help but have a spark of hope. I realize that the enemy would like to come in and fill our minds with doubts and fears and unbelief and all those things to try to subtract the power of God. But dear ones, if we have just a spark of hope, that's all it takes to believe. I want to share something with you. One time several years ago, my children were getting up to the point. They were older teenagers. They were going out, getting their jobs, having other influences. And as sometimes happens, children will begin to rebel against the teachings that you give them. And when they do that, they'll begin to rebel against you. And I remember this particular time, I'd walked out to my study in the garage. My heart was heavy and I fell down on my knees in my study. And I was crying before the Lord. My heart was so heavy, I couldn't put words to my prayers. And I just knelt there crying before the Lord. And as I was there crying before the Lord, the devil came in, as he does, and he began to bring accusations. And he began to bring all these kind of things. And the longer I knelt there, the worse and worse I felt. And the devil just began to bring all these things. And I'm sure he's told probably every minister this. What good is it for you to be a preacher? Your own children don't want this. You might as well just give it up and go away. I'm going to tell you, when the devil began to get to that point, I began to realize this was the devil. And I was just feeling crushed. And in my desperation, I just cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, I love you. And I don't want to go away. Lord, it doesn't matter what my children, it doesn't matter what anyone else does. I want to make heaven. And I began to take and I began to tell the Lord, Lord, I love you and I appreciate the mercies that you've shown to me. And I began to thank him for all the things that he's done. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it created a spark of hope within my soul. And when that happened, that shroud of gloom and doubts and discouragement that the enemy was just wrapping my soul with, they began to lift. And as that began to lift, the Spirit of the Lord came down and ministered to my soul in such a way that I'm going to tell you, I left that study different than what I went into it. And dear ones, this is what I want you to get from that. All it takes is a spark of hope for you and I to be able to get a hold of something from God. Dear ones, if you and I can get a hold of a spark of hope and we get our eyes on God, I'm going to tell you, He can come down and He can flood our souls. Not only, dear ones, when you and I get that spark of hope, when we really see God as who He is, it will not only give us that spark of hope, but I'm going to tell you, it'll break the chains that the enemy has to try to bind you. Chains of doubt, chains of discouragement, chains of fears, unbelief, unforgiveness, bitterness. Amen. We heard just the other night, Sister Vonda was telling us of some things that she went through in her life and how that it was, she was saved and sanctified, but there was something. You know what the devil was wanting to do? He was wanting to bind her and to rob the joy that God has. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you can't get too saved and sanctified for the enemy to come in and try to do those things to you. But my message this evening, not mine, the Lord's message, is, dear ones, if you and I can just get a spark of hope, if we in those times will fall down before the Lord as that man did there in the tombs and begin to worship Him and begin to praise Him and thank Him, Lord, I thank You for salvation, I'm going to tell you, it'll create a spark of hope that'll break those chains and it'll give us victory in our souls. Do you know that man? It says after that, that after those spirits went out and they went into those swine, have you ever wondered why the Lord granted those spirits leeway to go into those swine? I tell you the way I see it, I believe that God, Christ, wanted this man and he wanted all those people to see exactly what the enemy was designed to do, was to utterly destroy him. Not only him, but every soul that they can. And so I believe the Lord allowed it to go there to let them know that this is the place that the enemy wants to bring. He wants to utterly destroy your soul and mine. He wants to get us in a place like that young woman that I told you about where there's no hope. Do you know that's what hell is? It's a place of no hope at all. The rich man found that out, didn't he? Dear ones, I want you to know tonight there's hope in God. The reason that we celebrate this time is because Christ came to bring us hope. He came to give us hope for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our nation, for our world. And dear ones, all it takes is a spark of hope in their soul, just like in ours. When they get that spark of hope in their souls, that's all it takes to believe. And when they believe and they cry out to God, dear ones, He can not only take and break the chains of sin, He can change them. That young man, that man in the tombs, when he, after those spirits were driven out, what did it say? He was sitting clothed in his right mind. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this is what gives me hope for our nation, for our loved ones, is I realize no matter how far they go, all it takes is a spark of hope. Because when they get a hold of that and they believe in the shed blood of Christ, dear ones, that blood can change them and make them a new creature. No matter how far they've gone, it's able to take and change them just like it did that man and make them a new creature where they too can sit in our assemblies just like this and lift their hands and say, I have a hope within my soul. Oh, dear ones, I don't know what your needs are tonight. I don't know what your family needs are. I don't know the situation. You may not be in a place like that woman that I told you about. You may not be in a backslidden condition. You may not be in that place yet where the enemy has brought you to a place he's trying to make you take another step. But wherever you're at, the enemy's on your trail. And my burden tonight is that you recognize all it takes is a spark of hope. Fall down and worship God. And I'm going to tell you, that spark of hope can come into your soul. And the Lord can take and break all the chains that the enemy would have to bind us and destroy us. I thank God for the great hope that He came to bring to you and I. Appreciate your attention this evening.